Good afternoon and welcome on in to Kildare Focus. You're listening to Kildare's KFM. It's Thursday, the 28th of September. Caoimhe Harney here with you until 3. Coming up first on today's show, we'll speak to Frank Murray, Chair of Alcohol Action Ireland. He'll be telling us about a new initiative which has been launched called Voices of Recovery. Robert Moss will join us from 2:20. He's the EU Life Green Committee's lead at Antashka. A public consultation and meeting takes place regarding a low-carbon future for Maynooth. At 2:35, Anya Lawless, Clean Coasts officer, will be telling us how volunteers from Kildare picked up almost 400 kilograms of litter from beaches. And lastly, we'll hear from Kildare Wildlife Rescue because they have become a registered charity and they're launching their first Kildare Biodiversity Conference in October. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can call in 045 898 999. If you want to email, it's studio@kfmradio.com, or of course you can send me in a text or WhatsApp.
Kildare Focus with Caoimhe Harney. Text or WhatsApp 0833 97 97 97.
Now, a campaign has been launched, Voices of Recovery, to use lived experience from alcohol harm to drive change. Well, I'm joined on the line now by Frank Murray, Chair of Alcohol Action Ireland. Good afternoon, Frank.
And how are you?
Good afternoon, Frank. Frank, this is going to be launched on the 30th of September. Can you talk us through it and where the idea came from?
Well, the idea came from the observation that you don't really hear the voice of individuals or the families who've been harmed from alcohol, either in Ireland or internationally. So what this program aims to do is to bring together people who've been harmed from alcohol and who are in recovery, and to facilitate their making their voices heard. To describe the lived experience of alcohol harms with a view to trying to change policy here in Ireland.
Okay, so I assume it's probably a lot easier for people to resonate with someone who has gone through alcohol addiction rather than someone who may be well-meaning but doesn't really know what it's like to deal with.
That's very true. I mean, the lived experience of alcohol harm is terrible, as you probably know. Both for the individual themselves who's using alcohol in a harmful way, and for the people around them, their family and their friends. And as you know, also there's a very high risk of dying from alcohol consumption as a result of liver disease or cancers. Many cancers are due to alcohol. So it's very important, I think, for people to hear those voices. Now, in contrast to, say, people with breast cancer or bowel cancer or heart disease, where a lot of people will come forward to describe their experiences and will advocate on behalf of those services, there is a terrible stigma attached to people who get who use alcohol and develop either harms or become dependent on it. So that stigma has I think, suppressed people's willingness to speak out when they're recovering from alcohol harms. And what this program or project is doing is to try and facilitate those people's voices being heard so that they can advocate, for instance, for better services, to reduce the amount of alcohol in our culture, to reduce alcohol advertising, and other important parts of alcohol campaigning, including particularly having individuals at an office in Ireland responsible for reducing alcohol harms.
Okay, and that was going to be my next question, just to kind of delve a little bit deeper into the actual policy change that you want to see. Like, I mean, in terms of policy, is there anything we can really do about culturally how we drink here in Ireland? Will policy change that?
For certain. So the first thing to say is that Ireland actually has done quite well internationally, and many other countries look to Ireland because the Public Health Alcohol Act, which was passed in 2018, has included a number of measures, including alcohol warning labels, including cancer alcohol warning labels on one hand, and other initiatives, including particularly minimum unit pricing. So Ireland has done reasonably well in relation to that. What we're really asking for now is that we take that to the next level. So if you look, for instance, Kieffer, who's responsible for alcohol harms in Ireland? And what agency deals with them? And the answer is, there is nobody responsible. There is nobody you go to and say, it's your responsibility to reduce alcohol harms in Ireland. And there's no authority or office in Ireland responsible for that. Now, if you contrast that with road deaths, who's responsible for reducing road deaths in Ireland? The Road Safety Authority. Yeah. And they work across government very effectively. I know there's been an increase now in this year, but the number of road deaths has fallen by two-thirds over the last 20 years for a number of reasons, but most importantly among them are those, I believe, is the Road Safety Authority. So we think we need an authority like that or an organisation like that that crosses government and is responsible for reducing alcohol harms and is responsible, for instance, for developing policy, legislation and getting it implemented.
Is such an authority, is it in practice in other jurisdictions?
A number of jurisdictions have drug and alcohol policy organisations together. For instance, okay. In Eastern Europe and Lithuania, they have. But to be honest, I think it's not good to mix them. I believe that we're better off to deal with alcohol and drugs, and alcohol and tobacco are very different. We should look at them quite differently. I think we should see alcohol as being much more like road safety, because, for instance, although we all think tobacco is terrible and we shouldn't be using it, and there's no reason for it, many of us want to continue to drink alcohol, including myself. Mm. But we want to do it in a way that's safe. Now, likewise with driving. Driving has risks, but we want to do it in a way that's safe. And that's been facilitated, I think, as I just said, by the Road Safety Authority. And I think that's a much better model that we should look at, okay, in terms of going forward. And interestingly, one of the things that I think is worth stating, Caoimhe, is that we have tremendous evidence. We know what works to reduce, what policies work to reduce alcohol harms, particularly around price and availability and marketing and advertising.
Okay, so but in what Ireland are those policies then?
So can I just come on to that? Can I
yeah,
just,
yeah,
before
course,
I go
yeah.
on to those, can I just make another comment if I can? But we know that in many countries, despite the evidence being there about how to reduce those harms, it doesn't happen.
Okay.
There isn't policy legislated for and implemented, and there aren't steps put in forward to reduce alcohol harms. So there's what I term an implementation deficit. So we know what the evidence is, but we don't implement it either in Ireland or in other countries in a widespread way. Now, as I said, Ireland has done well in certain ways.
Okay.
So you asked, to answer your question directly, what do we know works really well? Well, price. So the more expensive alcohol is, the less is consumed, and the less expensive and affordable it is, the more is consumed. And that's that elasticity of price and sale has been shown all around the world.
That is proven, is it?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Absolutely. And in fact, we have minimum unit pricing here in Ireland, which was introduced here a couple of years after in Scotland. And in Scotland, it's been reduced, associated with a significant fall in hospitalizations due to alcohol and deaths due to alcohol.
Okay.
So there's huge evidence around the world about price and availability, price and alcohol-related harms.
And just to take up on that, before you move on to your next point, Frank, you know, people will text in. I'm sure that people will text in now, because every time we talk about this, they do. And they will say, and I take your point, that as a whole, perhaps alcohol consumption would go down, you know, when price is higher. But for the people who are living with alcoholics or, you know, unfortunately in the home with someone who is addicted to alcohol, they say that, you know, they find the money for drink no matter how much, and it comes at the cost of the family.
So it's worth thinking about short and long term. There's no question that there are people who have terrible problems with alcohol addiction who are going to get alcohol almost no matter what. But there are also people who won't get into that situation because the prices are higher.
Okay.
You see, so it's not just a matter of dealing with the present problem. It's also about thinking about how do we deal with the short-term and long and medium-term future.
Okay.
The second thing about it is that even though we've increased the price of alcohol, the wealth in Ireland has increased dramatically. So over the last two decades before minimum unit pricing, you know, the price of alcohol had become far more affordable in Ireland. And it's that affordability, Caoimhe, that facilitates people buying alcohol in substantial quantities and consuming it in more substantial quantities. And if you look at, say, About three quarters of the alcohol in the UK, and I'm sure it's pretty similar here, is consumed by about a quarter of the population who have drink problems. And, you know, so it's really worth thinking about that. I mean, if we were in that situation, and people in my family have been in that situation, we'd want to help them. And I bet, Clifford, that both you and almost all of your listeners have had friends or family who've had problems related to alcohol. And we should be thinking about them in terms of how we legislate and how we price and how we advertise for alcohol.
Absolutely. I don't think any family is untouched. In terms of then the curbs on alcohol marketing, how would you like that to look?
So I'd like it to look like it looks in France, where you can't advertise.
Total ban.
Alcohol. Yeah, but that's what. So let's just go back to what the evidence is. The more alcohol marketing there is, the more alcohol is sold. And the alcohol companies are very effective marketeers. They have market their products and advertise their products brilliantly. I mean, their ads are tremendous, and they miss sell the product. They sell it as a product that brings happiness, whereas we know those of us who work in healthcare or in social care or in crime or in the guards will tell you alcohol brings an enormous amount of misery. So trying to, if we want to really reduce harms, what we need to do is reduce the average level of consumption in the population, what we call population level per capita alcohol consumption. That's what we need to reduce. And Ireland is still a very, very heavy drinking country, unfortunately. And we drink in a way that's particularly harmful because we tend to binge drink, which is associated with lots of incidents and accidents and deaths from people getting involved in falls or road accidents or whatever. So it's very important we think about those kinds of things as we deal with the problems of alcohol.
All right. I have a message in here, Frank, 0833 97 97 97. What does Frank think about advertising for 0.0 drinks?
So I think, so we have a big problem with that. That's what we call alibi advertising. So if you look at, for instance, the Public Health Alcohol Act, which the government deserves great credit for and the Department of Health deserves great credit for, they banned the advertising of alcohol on the pitch in sports. And now when you look at, say, the rugby, you'll see in Ireland, you'll see Guinness 0.0 being advertised or Heineken 0.0 being advertised. Now, we would argue that they're not just advertising 0.0 products, they're advertising Heineken 0.0 and Heineken alcohol-containing products. So we think that that's a bad idea. We would be happy if the product was called something different, like Dublin 0.0 or something like that. But I think we believe that they're actually breaking both the spirit and the law of the Public Health Alcohol Act by advertising 0.0 products on the pitch. We think that they shouldn't, with the same name as the alcohol-containing products.
Almost.
So we think
like
they should have a different. Yes, and I think that's something that needs to be addressed. And I mean, and you know, and we're not being visible. I use alcohol. I'm not anti-alcohol. I'm a liver doctor. I spent 40 years looking after people who died as a result of alcohol, so I have very strong feelings about it. And it's a terrible way to die as a result of liver failure due to alcohol. So my colleagues and I are very determined that we try to reduce the level of harm from consumption in Ireland, and that we use the evidence that's available in relation to that.
Okay. You've had your first 10 signatories to the initiative, including well-known recovery advocates, Olympic boxer Kenneth Egan, Senator Francis Black and singer Mary Coughlan. I'm sure you're looking for as many people as you can get to sign up and tell their story.
We are, absolutely. I mean, and I think that's important. You know, just to get back to what I said in answer to your first question, the voice of people harmed by alcohol and those in recovery are inadequately heard. It's very important we hear their voices and that we understand the hardships that have been brought on by alcohol and the urgency to take effective action and to implement effective action to reduce alcohol consumption and alcohol harms. So I think it's really important we try and increase those numbers with that in mind. And it's very interesting I thought there's a very interesting quote by Kenneth Egan, who was an Olympic medalist. He said he used alcohol as a mask, a way to escape. He was a chaotic binge drinker. And he says, "My sobriety is the most important thing to me, more important than my Olympic medal."
Wow.
Now, that's a very strong statement. And that reflects, I think, the importance of of recovery to him, and why it's important that we try and provide opportunities for other people to recover from alcohol harms.
Okay. Frank, do you have a free phone number or a number that people can call for Alcohol Action Ireland?
No, but we have a website. Okay. If you Google us, you'll get our contact details in terms of our website and our phone. We do have a phone number, which I don't have to hand, and I'm sorry about that.
No problem. I will get it in a few moments.
Yeah, but we do have, and we're more than happy to help.
Kildare Focus with Caoimhe Harney. Text or WhatsApp 0833 97 97 97.
Now, on Taisce Legacy for Life, Green Communities Project is now nearing completion after 2 years of research, surveys and cross-community input. The project has worked in collaboration and alignment with Kildare County Council Decarbonation Strategy for Maynooth. And very soon, there will be a public consultation and meeting taking place in regards to the low-carbon future for Maynooth. I'm joined on the line now by Robert Moss, EU Life Green Communities Lead at Antashka. Good afternoon, Robert.
Good afternoon, Caoimhe. Thanks very much for inviting me onto your show.
Delighted to have you. Tell us about what's been going on in Maynooth and I suppose what this consultation actually entails.
Yeah, it's quite heavy stuff, so I'll try and keep it light and bright. But we're looking at how much greenhouse gases Maynooth coughs up in a year. Which is quite complicated because there's all sorts of different categories and subcategories. But we're pretty much there, around about 90,000 tons a year of CO2 equivalent is the baseline emissions. And we then started surveying the different sectors of Maynooth society across the small, medium enterprise sector, the large businesses, the agricultural sector as well, because Maynooth is a town, but it's surrounded by farmland. And, of course, Maynooth community, their turn is tonight from 7 p.m. in the Glen Royal Hotel in Maynooth. So we'll be showing our homework off to everybody in Maynooth that comes along, answering questions and getting them to express their preferences as well.
Okay. Now, it's happening tonight, 7 to 9, in the Glen Royal Hotel, Strafford Road, Maynooth. Who should go? Like, why should people go to this?
I suppose any interested party, people who live in Maynooth, so residents, people who work in Maynooth, students, people, I suppose, who have an opinion about climate change, the environment, and a low-carbon future. And they might have their own ideas as to what that should focus on. It might be active travel. A lot of people believe transport is the issue. Other people would suggest that it might be energy, and we have to look at moving away from fossil fuel. It's very popular since a certain large-scale continental war broke out last year and affected all of our energy bills. So people, I suppose, who want to know a little bit more about climate action options in and around Maynooth and who may have an opinion themselves and want to kind of put in their two cents worth.
Okay. The findings for Maynooth then, like, how does Maynooth look overall at the moment in terms of, like, where they are with their carbon, etc.?
Yeah, so there's no great surprises there. Maynooth is a commuter town, and as we'd expect, top of the list is transport. So there's a lot of emissions coming from transport in Maynooth, a heady 30,000 tonnes a year. And that's not counting the motorway as well. We excluded the motorway because, you know, it's generally not used by people who are in Maynooth. It's sort of an accident of geography that the motorway cuts through the Maynooth electoral division to the south of Maynooth. So it's a little bit fair to lump that huge amount of commuter traffic because it's not really people living, working or studying in Maynooth causing it. What we were trying to do was focus on what Maynooth produces a year and what Maynooth can do about that. And what Maynooth wants to do about that. Mm. So we didn't count all of the emissions from jet planes flying over or all the traffic on the motorway.
And just to pick you up on that then, Robert, you know, you've probably heard Sinn Féin TD Louise O'Reilly raising the issue in the Dáil there in recent days about disappearing buses, you know, and people who are trying to do the right thing, trying to use public transport, but it just can't be relied on. So, you know, if you go to a meeting tonight and people can sit around and say, yeah, look, I'd love to get the bus to work and I'd love to do this and that, but if it's not, you know, reliable, people aren't going to change.
Yeah, that's a very good point, because transport's probably the most difficult one of all. Like, I mean, it's in some ways the most obvious choice. You know, well, okay, you know, let's take main news. What's the single biggest category out of some seven or eight categories? You know, transport, buildings, commercial, agriculture, and so on. It's transport. Well, let's tackle transport. Well, that's the easy bit. How do you tackle transport? You and I can't set up a bus company or build a new railway line. It's kind of a little bit beyond our control. We can advocate for it. We can hound our TDs and local councillors to take part in our cause. But you're talking about, you know, multi-decade investment in infrastructure, which Ireland doesn't have a good track record on.
No.
Most similar, you know, liberal market economies don't have a good track record on investment. Generally tends to be more speculative on a four-year electoral cycle basis rather than planning for the future of our children and grandchildren. So that's a little bit beyond the scope of what you and I can tackle. But what we can do is show what the issues are. Mm. And we can, and we are, with the Green Communities Low Carbon Plan, we're providing a vehicle that people can make informed decisions about where they want to focus their energy on and where they want their local authority to assist them in making a difference. Now, the Green Communities Low Carbon Plan for Maynooth, the intention is it'll be a live plan, so it'll be updated next year and the year after and so on. So after 2 or 3 years, you know, there might be no traction at all with transport, and the Maynooth community may wish to put their energies elsewhere. They might want to tackle energy, which is always a good emission theme, because it pretty much impacts on all the other emission themes. You know, okay. If you're looking at generating renewable energy and localized sources of renewable energy, that can help reduce the emissions of transport and of buildings and of the commercial sector and the agricultural sector.
Okay,
these are just you know, some. I'm trying to, I suppose, outline one, how diverse the whole issue of low carbon planning is, but also that it does provide us with a lot of workarounds and a lot of different options. And we can change our approach. If we're not making progress on one front, we can try and push in another direction.
Okay. In terms of then who will be there tonight, will any public representatives, councillors, TDs that you're aware of?
Yeah, I hope so. They've been invited, so I'm sure they'll be there.
Okay.
Everyone in Maynooth should have got a invitation through their letterbox as well. I know some are planning to come. One of the councillors had to cancel because of an illness, so they're aware of it. So I'm expecting to see them there, yeah. And I'm sure they have lots of questions as well.
Okay. people can just head on over then to the Glen Royal between 7 and 9 and they can take part in this consultation. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So I'll be talking much as I have been to yourself, really just kind of going over our homework.
Okay.
What the commercial sector has said and intends to do, what the agricultural sector has said and intends to do. We'll then be talking about other areas of climate action that the Antashka Legacy for Life program has been involved in. Then we're going to demonstrate a carbon calculator, which is an online tool, and it visualizes all the things that we've been talking about so people can see Maynooth from above and see what happens if, for example, everyone chose to have an electric vehicle instead of a petrol or a diesel car.
Robin, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I'm tight for time here, but you can go ahead to the Glen Royal Hotel this evening, 7 till 9, for the low-carbon public meeting consultation on Maynooth's carbon future. That's Robert Moss, EU Life Green Communities Lead at Antashka. Thanks very much, Robert. Now, almost 400 kilograms of litter were removed by volunteers from County Kildare for the Big Beach Clean. Well, I'm joined on the line now by Áine Lawless, Clean Coasts Officer. Good afternoon, Áine.
Hi, Cuva. How are you?
Very good, Áine. You'd 62 volunteers from County Kildare, and they removed an estimated 375 kilograms of litter. And the cleanups happened in various locations, including Moon and Maynooth. But as I understand, there's no coasts in these areas. So why the name?
You're dead right. So we are an organisation that focuses predominantly on coastal cleanups, but at certain times of the year, we also invite volunteers from all over the country to take part. One of the reasons being that these areas have waterways, so they have canals and rivers, and that water all ends up out at sea. So when we have volunteers inland taking part as well, they are also making a huge difference to stopping marine litter getting out into the ocean in the first place.
Okay, so stopping it before it actually gets there at the source, I suppose.
Exactly, yeah.
So you had a good few volunteers. Do people know about Clean Coasts and what's involved?
Yeah, well, so I guess for those of you who maybe haven't heard of Clean Coasts before, we are part of the Environmental Education Unit in Antashka. So if you're familiar maybe with Green Schools, the Climate Ambassadors, we all kind of fall under the same organisation. But we focus predominantly on coastal projects. So we work with community groups and we run cleanups and other events focused on biodiversity and coastal protection throughout the year all around the country. And so the best way to get involved really is as a volunteer with community groups locally. So the likes of Maynooth Tidy Towns have been involved for a number of years now, and they run cleanups on the local waterways in the area. And it's a really nice thing to do. I think sometimes these problems can be quite stressful. We look at the amount of marine litter out there and other environmental problems. One of the best ways that we can kind of start feeling a bit better about that is actually get out and work with other people to try and solve some of these problems.
Okay, so you really need to just be involved in your tidy towns first. There's no way of getting involved directly with Clean Coasts, is there, Áine?
Yeah, no, you absolutely can. So you can, if you want to register as your own kind of small group, but we have groups that are maybe even just two or three people or groups that are bigger as well. You can register as a group yourself and do your own cleanups, organise them in your local area, or if you know maybe you go to a local beach or waterway regularly, you can organise cleanups out there. Or there's also other kind of events that go on throughout the year. So they are, information about those is usually available on our website or on our social media. And if any of those are coming up, we have, you can get involved in those as well.
Okay, when is the next Kildare cleanup happening, Áine?
At the minute, I'm not fully sure. So we're actually, unfortunately, getting into slightly worse weather and darker evenings. So we tend to focus more of these cleanups in the spring, summer, early autumn. And the Big Beach Clean kind of ends out our summer season. So we don't have, we'll say, a Kildare cleanup coming up just in the next little while. But if you keep an eye out, there'll be other stuff coming up in the springtime, I'm sure. But in the meantime, if you want to get involved in a small way by yourself, we always say that one of the best ways that we can do this, we don't have to rely on kind of the Big Beach Clean every time. If we all just spent 2 minutes every time we went out for a walk or something and picked up a little bit of litter, put it in the bin or brought it home, it makes a huge difference.
Okay, the Clean Coasts is just for the kind of big spring clean, but you can do a little bit every day before the next one, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can get involved at any time and on any scale, you know, and feel free to get in touch. I mean, we have regional officers in each area who can support. So kind of like along the different coasts and different regions of the country. So if you have questions about getting involved or kind of questions about what kind of kit you need or if you want to set up a cleanup in your area, how you might get that started, do get in touch with us. We can give you some more information on that. So we're always delighted to hear from you volunteers.
Okay, that's brilliant. Anya Lawless, Clean Coasts Officer. Thank you very much, Anya, for joining us this afternoon. Now, Kildare Wildlife Rescue has become a registered charity and it's also launching its first Kildare Biodiversity Conference in October. Well, I'm joined on the line now by the manager of Kildare Wildlife Rescue, Dan Donoher. Good afternoon, Dan.
Good afternoon, Cleva.
Dan, what made you make the move to become a registered charity?
Yeah, so it was always our intention once we set up Kildare Wildlife Rescue to become a charity and to be able to promote our work. On Monday afternoon we got the great news that we were finally registered, and that opens up a lot of doors now for us regarding funding. Because all summer we had a really busy summer, but unfortunately because we had our application in, we weren't able to fundraise. So. Funds were getting pretty low, so it came at a great time.
Okay, so this means now, Dan, that you can potentially go around Kildare, fundraise because you're a charity. People can obviously, you know, maybe do things in your name and donate to the charity. Maybe schools that are having like a civvy day or a rag day can also then donate to Kildare Wildlife Rescue.
Yeah, exactly. And businesses also will be able to maybe sponsor some equipment or make a donation in their name. So yeah, it does lots of things like that for us. People are able to donate food as well, and cat food and dog food we also accept. So yeah, there's lots of things now that we can do that we weren't able to do over the last 6 months.
Okay, tell us then what kind of work you do in Kildare Wildlife Rescue.
Yeah, so our centre is for sick, injured and orphaned native wildlife. So we take them in, we rehabilitate them back to full health and release them back into the wild. As you know, as many people would have heard, we're in a biodiversity crisis. So it's really important that we, you know, get these animals back to full health and get them back out into the wild. Because, you know, in certain species, we deal with a lot of red listed species, so the likes of kestrels and barn owls and stuff like that. So each individual animal is extremely important because they can go back out and breed and then help their, you know, to be able to help their species survive. So, you know, the work that we do here in Kildare is really important.
Okay, tell us about the conference that you have coming up in biodiversity.
Yeah, so we're delighted to team up with Kildare County Council and we're having a conference in the Cadian Hotel on the 14th of October. And that we came up with that concept for, there's lots of groups in Kildare doing stuff for biodiversity. And it's to bring them all together, showcase the work that they're doing, network between each other and share kind of best practices and how we can all work together to move forward to help the biodiversity in Kildare.
Okay, so on the 14th, the Saturday the 14th, what time does that conference kick off?
So it's an all-day conference. It's 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Now, tickets are, we have about 20 tickets left, so we really has sold out nearly. So I would, if anyone is interested in biodiversity or maybe in a group or tidy towns like that, that they should look at purchasing ticket this week if they can before they're sold out.
Where can you get the tickets, Dan?
So you can look on our Facebook page or Eventbrite, just look up Kildare Biodiversity Conference.
Okay. Dan Donoher, manager of Kildare Wildlife Rescue. Thanks very much, Dan, for joining us this afternoon.